I suppose we should probably get this show on the road.
We should do.
So, hello and welcome to Nakama Britannica, the only 2018 anime podcast that knows the best thing out this year, contained the number 808. It's been quite a year. It's been the best of times, it's been the worst of times. But there was a huge delay on Netflix, and we've only just got it now. So, welcome to 2019, much like 2018. As you may have guessed, we're covering the year in review, the year gone past 2018, I'm fairly certain, Netflix notwithstanding. And it is just the two of us this time. I am Professor Irony, and with me...
It's just me, Owlist.
Yeah, just the two of us. And, you know, we are
Don't
going
to... break into song, it's fine.
And we are going to be supplying all the hot takes you could possibly eat. It's been quite a year for it. Anyone that says 2018 was not a good year for anime is missing the point entirely, I think. There was a lot of stuff, and it's been difficult to decide what to cover. We're really just going to cover some highlights, and I want to say lowlights, but I didn't really feel like I even watched anything that was particularly bad, so...
There was a couple of things that obviously caused controversy through the year. And a couple of shows that just didn't hit the peak we were looking for, but there was nothing that I watched that was particularly awful this time around, which is
refreshing.
Quite surprising. Yes. Very refreshing, actually. So it's been a good year so far. Good year so far. Well, by Netflix standards, good year so far.
Yes.
But
yes.
It was a good year last year otherwise for anime there.
Yes, the Netflix time displacement effect, I think, is... very much in power this time around. It's been very much a year in which Netflix has made their presence felt with anime. I think their market share is increased for better or worse, better and worse in many cases, I suppose. But
yes, they've had a lot of surprising things come out of Netflix. A lot of licenses I would have expected to go elsewhere that just kind of appeared there instead, and a lot of probably things. Didn't expect to come out of there at all, especially the first half of the year. So it's been a really good year for Netflix, I think, in terms of their coverage of anime and just foreign and international viewing full stop.
Yeah. I mean, they also seem to be bankrolling a whole lot of live-action anime now, but I suppose we should probably save that for some kind of Netflix-specific episode, I guess, which we keep threatening to do and never getting around to, unfortunately.
Aren't you all lucky?
Yes, we've spared you that particular joy. But yeah, I mean, on the subject of Netflix, at the top of the year, I suppose the big heavy hitter was, of course, Devilman Crybaby. It's anime, I mean, you know, it was, what, February that came out, and already anime was saved, so there you go.
I know. I mean, like, as you said, you had that. You also had January with Violet Evergarden as well, you had... Violet Evergarden, Devilman Crybaby, Be the Beginning, all kind of run off one to the other. Anime was saved in the first couple of months. We didn't need the rest of the year after that. But it was stupidly good, especially with Devilman Crybaby. That was, say what you will about Masaki Uasa's style of animation, but it really was refreshing to see something like that make a showing again, finally, after so long.
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange one, that. I feel like Yuasa was never the obvious choice for me, but it was an absolute winner. I mean, it's, as I noted down, I think it may have been a little bit too reverential to some of the previous anime, that it seemed kind of keen to avoid repeating some of the major fight scenes that the earlier versions had covered. You know, there were a couple of really nice kind of action sequences in the earlier OVAs, and the Crybaby series seemed to avoid like repeating those a lot. But that aside, I thought it was really amazingly good. I mean, it was... I sort of roughly knew the story for Devilman, where it was going to go, but I couldn't look away. I mean, I knew what was coming, and it was like, oh, no, please don't go there, please don't go there, and it went there.
So, if you've got any idea of what it was like in the manga, of what we're kind of alluding to, then it, from my... my remembering of that particular scene again in Crybaby, and from what people told me, it's actually more gruesome. So expect that. It's not pleasant, but you can't really not watch it.
Yeah, I mean, even if you know where it's heading, then you know you should probably still be in for quite a shock. I think it's not for everyone. It's grim and intense, but it's like an avalanche that engulfs everything in its path, I think.
Yeah, it's very much what's he gonna, guy? Is that right?
Yeah.
It's very much his style in a nutshell. Mm. And I kind of think we said beginning of the year that this is very much going to be Gonna Guy's year, and it kind of was.
Mm.
He had so many things come out of that as well. Not so good, some good.
Mm.
But Crybaby really kind of stood out there and kind of showed just how, you know, playful some of his shows are. Some of his titles are, but just also at the same time how dark he takes it, and Crybaby doesn't avoid any of that at all whatsoever.
I know. I think it did a great job of like updating an older IP that really hasn't been seen in any kind of significant fashion for a long time, and it made it fresh and relevant. So I mean,
was it 80s was the last one? 80s, early 90s was the last time we had anything?
Yeah, I think it was like maybe. Oh, I tell you what, there was one in like the early 2000s, but it wasn't very good and should be watched by no one. So. It was,
so there was nothing at all since the 1990s.
Yes, exactly. I think there may have been some sort of live action crossover one at some stage as well, but I don't know. I haven't actually seen that. So
actually, now I think about it, the only other thing that springs to mind was that Cyborg 009 Devilman thing.
Yeah, I thought there was something like that, but I never saw that.
I had heard of, but never saw it.
Yeah.
I never saw it at all. I think it's actually, funnily enough, on Netflix as well, which I'm not going to look up right now as we speak.
Yes, this just becomes a stream in which we shut up and watch Netflix for the next hour.
Actually, yes, it is. It was a series, no less, as well. It was three OVAs. It was released.
Right,
So it's currently on Netflix as we speak.
Mm.
That was back from 2015, no less. That's a couple of years. It's not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Right. Need to take a look at that. But I mean, I think as you mentioned earlier, probably the other big Netflix series from the start of the year was Violet Evergarden. How did you get on with that? Did you see that one? Or?
We did. We didn't. There was a couple episodes we need to go back and finish off, but we more or less finished the show. Otherwise, it's again another visual stunner from Kyoto Animation. Really is one of those ones that stands out amongst the rest. Even now, I think you look at the rest of the shows that came out throughout the year, and there still is so many that didn't hit the same level of animation, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
It felt
more like an OVA than a TV series, which, you know, is probably what we've kind of grown to expect from KyoAni in a way. That's the very much the magic name for high quality TV animation.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was a stunner to watch, and it's a really good kind of hits you at home kind of show as well. There's a lot of really strong moments in that. Again, it released another really strong out into the beginning of the year. Definitely, I would say, looking back on it, one of the probably the best shows of the year, but it's really, 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 really good as well. Another really high one. I know I'll probably not in agreement with Lane, because Lane will be saying it as one of the better ones of the series. I know that much, but definitely a really good strong one.
I mean, I know a lot of people really loved it, particularly in the AUK and staff, looking at the staff picks for the year. But
yeah.
I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed with Violet Evergarden. I think it was, in a way, the thing that brought it down a little bit for me was that there was a huge amount of hype surrounding it, you know, as it had the magic KyoAni name. And I think it was also the first title that Netflix saw fit to simulcast. But I found, to be brutally honest, I found it a little bit derivative in terms of Violet's story. I mean, I think it works when it's keeping things fairly lightweight. There's some really nice moments in the self-contained episodes, But just the backstory, it felt a little bit like kind of a war movie drama 101 for me. It's I think maybe it's just because I've seen like a ton of these kind of like war movies over the years, and I feel that when we get something like this, it's just kind of I don't know, it's fine, but I just felt a little bit like, oh, well, we've kind of seen this sort of material before, and I don't know. Maybe I just didn't engage with it as well as other people did, but I don't know. No,
I
I
mean, it
didn't like
was.
it, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a was that kind of wartime story, but I think it didn't feel so much a story of Violet to begin with. It felt more of a story of what she saw, which was, was quite fascinating the way it was told. But it would be nice to have seen maybe a bit more of her fleshed out early on too. But it was kind of nice to see her learn about things as she went as it went on as well. So it wasn't. I definitely liked the structure probably more in comparison to yourself. I thought it was really well good. I thought the episodic nature helped kind of tell different stories at a better pace than I was expecting. So I was quite happy with that. But I think there was. I can see why some people wouldn't have gone with it. I know some of the middle of the series didn't resonate as well with others. Some people didn't like it as much. But I still really enjoyed it for what it was.
Fair enough. I mean, I've had this kind of issue with things like this before, that I seem to have trouble making an emotional connection with certain things that other people really do. I mean, most, notably, everybody seems to love Wolf Children except me, so I don't know. It's I think it's just a lack in my software that, I'm missing the requirement updates for empathy or whatever. Just I don't know. So someone needs to switch me off and switch me back on again and see if that helps any. But
I mean, it's quite funny because I was always told I was the one with the cold stone heart, so I guess I've got my work out for me now.
it's rivals.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's I was forgetting as well that the other thing I meant to mention for Netflix at the start of the year was that, as much as this is technically a series from last year, as I believe it was, I think it was Shadowstorm on the staff also mentioned Kakagurui, and I really wanted to get that one in as well because Netflix finally released that at the beginning of the year, and I really enjoyed
They
it.
did.
It was, yeah,
Yeah. It
more.
was it's still one I need to go and actually visit, which is probably a crime in and of itself, but I have begun some of the manga too, so I do have a little bit of anticipation for actually watching it, but as you said, it was technically 2017, but we can get away with it because, we got it in 2018, so you know 2018 for us is fine. It's fine, obviously. So,
It's the Netflix time displacement challenge again. If it turns up on Netflix, how many years ago did it come out in Japan? But
My God, it's like a math problem all over again.
Yes, if a show airs in Japan at this date and it airs on Netflix at this date, but no, I enjoyed Kakagurui a lot. I mean, it's I like gambling series in general, so I mean, this was kind of an open goal for me. But yeah, it's a really glossy looking production. It has some incredibly special reaction faces. It's like I think I described it in a note on the forum. It's like the illegitimate love child of Gambling Apocalypse Kaiji in prison school. It's just absolutely crazy. It has no idea of subtlety. It's
I get the impression
it's
there's some Akagi in there as well, but I guess the
yeah.
Kaiji and Akagi are one the same almost in a way.
Kind of joined at the hip. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Kakagurui is as good as Kaiji at its best, but I mean, Kaiji, as much as I love it, had a lot of problems. The end of the first season kind of dropped off a bit, and the second season had a lot of pacing issues. And I think Kakagurui is generally more consistent, even if the gambles aren't as creative, I think, as some of the ones in Kaiji were. Some of the stuff in, I don't know, maybe it's even just that Kaiji, I think, is possibly the first gambling series I really saw, but I do still hold up, particularly the Human Derby arc of Kaiji, as just being something so crazy and out there that I've never really seen anything else reach that same kind of height of lunacy.
I know a lot of people kind of still actually hold Kaiju to such high acclaim as well. I know a few people still always go on about it as well for It almost has that, I guess, in some ways, if you were to compare it to anything else in terms of how it kind of does its annotations and its, some of its reactions, it's very what you'd say is JoJo-esque in some senses, with the way it has the characters come out, the characters of the what they're saying kind of come out of their mouths and in the background a lot of the time. There's a lot of that kind of annotation in the background, which is that contrast which you'll see with JoJo now, which is very much almost doing it to a flamboyant style instead.
Mm-hmm. Again, I suppose we shouldn't get too much sidetracked talking about Kaiji.
No, we shouldn't.
Being, you know, it's a series which is 2010, 2011 or something now. So,
but
I guess before we get off of Netflix, should also mention Be the Beginning, which very solid crime drama, really glossy production. Enjoyed hearing the director talk about that one at SLA. He seems so like a really nice guy. So.
Yeah, he did seem really nice. He was very, very happy to be in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
was the main thing. One of the main things I picked up from that as well. Yes. He seemed to really like Scotland. It was nice to know that you put the Forest Road Bridge in the background as well. Yes. That was always quite good to see. But yeah, Be the Beginning, I think, holds quite a bit, quite a spot for me as well. It was one of those ones that I watched thinking it probably is not going to be that amazing. But I think looking on it now and when I watched it, I really enjoyed it more than I expected I would.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot in the show which took a bit to get into after the first couple of episodes, especially with it being very disjointed with the fact there's two stories going on which you know are going to link somewhere but mm-hmm. haven't yet. But it does mesh quite well further to the end, so I'll be really curious to see, because he also mentioned in the back of it as well that he's got a sequel coming out for it as well, so I'll be really interested to see where he takes that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely one of those shows that I think you should give a try, because there's certainly, for the flaws that the show definitely has, there is a lot of positives to be had with it as well.
Hmm. I mean, it was, I know it was a bit divisive, not everybody loved it by any stretch of the imagination, but
no, definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely very unusual. I mean, I think it's rare that we see like what was a kind of very serious crime drama melded with something much more fantastical. You know, it was quite an unusual combination, really.
Yeah, I mean, I remember from what he said during the Q&A he had at Loves Animation last year, that he said that, if I remember rightly, the crime side of things, the kind of real-life detective whodunit thing, was added on as a thing to flesh out the sci-fi, because the sci-fi was the main predominant thing they were covering, the sci-fi fantastical side of things, and then this kind of was added on there afterwards. So it was quite interesting to hear that, and I'll be curious to see if they do bring back that side in second season.
I hope they do,
because that really kind of brought it down to earth, because I think if it was just the sci-fi aspect to it, then the show would be very plain in terms of what it was touching on.
Yeah, it would lose a little bit of its identity without that. I think it is kind of...
It would do.
Yeah. But absolutely. Looking forward to seeing more of that. It's enjoyed it a lot. I'm not just saying this because the main character in this is literally me. So
yeah, no, definitely, it's not just that because of that. But you know, it definitely is part of it.
Hmm.
Kind of just carrying on with the Netflix side of things as well. I know I didn't really get much of a chance to cover some of the other things, but there was a few other shows put on there, such as Baki.
Oh yes.
Which we've only got half of so far. And some other ones like Sirius the Jaeger.
I haven't seen that yet, unfortunately.
And Sword Guy as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a few other things.
Yeah,
on
it was
there.
Hisone to Masutan, or Dragon Pilot, as I believe the English title is. I had a quick look at that one last night. Again, I haven't had time to sit down and properly watch that. There's just been so much stuff this year, but
it has been.
Yeah, Dragon Pilot looks like a good shout, though. It's it seemed quite sharp. It's a story about a modern military that also has a dragon, which, in a very roundabout way, might actually be what I wanted from Gate. So there you go.
Yeah, that would have been kind of nice from Gate as well, but you know, Gate wasn't bad by any means, but it was
I still haven't gotten over the Apocalypse Now helicopter scene in which they basically gun down a whole horde of people wielding swords and shields that seem to pose them very little threat. But I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that. But anyways, the what I was kind of getting onto with Netflix was more that there's been such a massive push with Netflix and its releases recently, both with its theatrical releases as well as its just plain series releases, that it is something to really keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah.
Definitely with its low lights as well as its highlights. I mean, Baki is one of the ones I've just kind of finished watching the first half of, which... because we've only got the first half, it doesn't really count towards one of the highs and lows of the year, but certainly from what I saw, it was a very strong show with a couple of issues in terms of his animation. And I think with Baki himself, I feel like as the titular character, you'd expect him to be there the entire time, whereas in actual fact, throughout the entire first half of the show, I've seen him maybe like 5 times.
Really?
So surprisingly, I've seen him in combat for about 3 minutes, and then that was it. From the rest of it, he basically takes a step back in the first half of it. So I'm really hoping that when we get the second half of it there with us, that changes. But all in all, it's a good show. It's a decent enough brawler show, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Very, very distinctive look to it. I've only managed to see the first episode of this so far, but you wouldn't mistake anything else for Baki. It's
no, you wouldn't.
It's also quite graphically violent, more so than a lot of the other ones. I think that
oh yeah,
I think you kind of suddenly it being on Netflix makes sense. I mean, I can't see this airing on TV without a lot of things just being like a black screen for about roughly half the episode at times.
I mean, it's got a lot of that. I mean, the first couple of episodes especially have such ridiculous amounts of gore in it as well, which is from a show about a grappler kind of fighting in the underground, you'd expect some levels of it, but to the degree it was covered in, it's a bit more prevalent. And again, it is meant to be the Death Row prisoner one arc, which is meant to be one of the goriest ones. And don't get me wrong, one of the fights in it, the first major fight you have in it, really is pretty particularly gory, especially with what happens with one of the it's really hard to judge, but one of the main heroes of the show, kind of what happens, what kind of injuries they take in the battle is ridiculous. But it's just done in such a grand way that you're thinking to yourself, my god, this guy is ridiculously crazy yet really, really cool. Why is he so cool? But it's good fun. It is really good fun. I would recommend it if you're looking for something a bit more like that. It's not going to hit anything like Hajime no Ippo does, but it's definitely worth checking out, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me that this ran in a shonen magazine, the source material. I honestly thought this was going to be a seinen thing, but I suppose the giveaway maybe is that you got the kind of teenage protagonist and everything. But then when you get into when you see the death row criminals that seem to be such a big part of the series, I did kind of think this feels a bit like Golgo 13, but with punching.
Yeah, it is the way. It's very. I think. Going by what happens to some of the characters, there's a lot of characters that are named in it that suddenly have untimely demises or suddenly suffer defeats beyond their, which makes you think, how are they actually going to fight again after this? And I should probably, because just to kind of note as well, this is very much like the fourth or fifth series to Baki that we're getting. It's the first one we've actually had. We've never had anything else. Don't get me wrong, you can still watch it independently, but for some of the characters, you're going to get context by seeing the rest of it. But they are there, they act very tough, and then they get destroyed within seconds. Very much like a typical shonen in some ways, like, you're not the main character, you're not one of these good guys. Well, it's fine, you can just go to the side and never be heard of again. Very much has that structure to it, but in a more gruesome sense.
It feels a bit like the show for people that found Fist of the North Star too realistic. If you found that too realistic and serious, this is the show for you. But
Basically.
I would also note that it's one of the few things I think we can safely say that, along with Be the Beginning, is also features in the on Netflix and Scotland categories, because there is one of the convicts was actually from Glasgow, I noticed in the first episode, or at least it's in a
Yes.
Glaswegian prison. It inverted commas Glaswegian prison that somehow seems to apply the death penalty via electrocution. But.
I was gonna mention that, and I believe his name was Doyle or something like
Yeah.
that. It's kind of funny, and just to not obviously be in any way like racist in any sense or anything like that, but or kind of judging by where they're from, but the guy clearly has red hair. Let's be honest here, he very much red hair. It's like, oh, don't worry, he's from Scotland, so he has to have red hair. It's like, okay, that's fine,
Oh,
you know.
God.
So it was kind of funny in that sense. I'm glad Glasgow got a mention, but I was a bit kind of taken aback by the fact that we suddenly now apply death in.
Yes, that
That was
was
quite funny.
it's very much one of those Glasgow as imagined by someone that's only maybe vaguely heard of it, or maybe saw the UK on TV that one time several years ago. But
Yeah, I think the only other one I was really wanting to kind of mention with Netflix's side of things is probably the biggest disappointment, or I guess the worst of the bunch was Sword Guy. I only really managed to make it through an episode or two, and
I heard it
whilst the
was not
animation
good,
was oh
no.
yeah, the animation was okay, but the story was all over the place. I had no idea what I wanted to do. It released both series for it fairly quickly, which I can see why they've done that, just to get out of the way. But it wasn't well received, and you can see why if you watched it. It's very all over the place. There's not real much understanding of what it wants to do, and it just doesn't do anything for you. The combat's not great, the story is not that gripping. There's nothing really spectacular about it, all things considered, honestly. So it's one of those ones that if you were to kind of If we're to kind of narrow down the worst shows of the year, that's probably going to be one of the ones sitting up at the top of that.
It's yeah, I didn't manage to get a look at that one, I'm afraid, but like I said, I'd heard nothing but bad things about it, so I thought maybe give it a miss. They also gave
Yeah.
us Hero Mask recently, but I've only seen one episode of that, so I couldn't really form much of an opinion on it, although at a glance it seems to owe quite a lot to the Tom Cruise iteration of Mission Impossible, bizarrely enough, in that it's got the same sort of high-tech thriller vibe about it, and the character designs also, the main two guys look a lot like Tom Cruise and Simon Pegg, bizarrely enough.
Yeah, I didn't watch that, though. I've seen trailers for it. It very much looks almost like in that, you know, what you kind of deem that American Japanese animation style that some shows
It
have.
does seem to have like really exaggerated eyes for some reason. I mean, it is one of these things where you do slightly wonder a little bit if it's the kind of MDMA eyes going on, but it's maybe not that extreme. It's not, what was undoubtedly the other, anime of 2018, Pop Team Epic, but yeah. But I guess we should stress that other streaming platforms are available. We've probably done way too long on Netflix already.
Yeah, so moving swiftly on then in that
Yes.
case. Crunchyroll's had a lot of the shows again this time around, but it's not been the most prevail it's not been the only one really kind of showing things. So as much as I would like to kind of just bring all the attention there, I think platforms such as Amazon as well deserve to kind of mention, because Amazon have had a hell of a showing this year as well. Even though it's only had a couple of shows in some senses, it's had ridiculously good ones. And not only After the Rain, which was a really
Yeah, that was a really
interesting
solid
coming of
one.
age show, it was really solid. But I think probably my favorite show of what they've had was Watakoi, and Watakoi was just solid show all around. Really funny, really interesting touch on what otaku are like in the office life, rather than being that kind of, oh, what is it like in high school? No, this is the office life. They're working their daily lives, they're still living their lives normally, but how they get on in their relationship side of things. So you're not here building the trying to get them into a very awkward relationship. They're already in the relationships. It's more about how their lives are during that and how they kind of balance office life and their personal lives at the same time. And the way it's done is so, it's really interesting yet really funny at the same time. It's just really well done.
And it's so refreshing to see a romantic comedy about, you know, adults who are not even in college this time. I mean, I think it's a really rare thing to see. I mean, probably the only other one I can think of in recent times that touches on anything like that would have been MMO Junkie. But
there's definitely feels like there's elements of, you can relate MMO Junkie in some ways to this, I think for what MMO Junkie was, and that's, don't get me wrong, again, that's another really solid show, despite all the not so much the show itself, the background behind the rest of the rip. This just does things better in some ways because it covers things in a different perspective, almost similar, but it feels more touching, more down to earth. You can relate to some of the characters a lot more as well. I just find that a lot more engaging, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen an awful lot of this one yet, but it's only because I'd read some of the manga before this came out, and it seems like a very faithful adaptation, so it kind of feels a little bit like, well, I've sort of seen all this already, but that's not by any means a slight against it. I think it's a really good series. If you have Amazon Prime and you haven't seen this already, please go and watch it. It's very good.
Yeah, really do go watch it, and pick up the manga as well. I know there's only...
I think that's coming out. In English now, probably.
Yeah, there is. There's three volumes out now, so it's a really good chance to pick up from it. From what I know of the manga, if you're curious for how faithful, it very much sticks to it to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it only covers the first two volumes of the manga as well, which is quite surprising for the length of the show. You'd have thought it'd be covering a bit more, but it does a really good job of adapting it, and it is such a joy to watch as well. It's probably one of the best. I would personally put it as probably my favourite comedy show of the year without a problem at all, easily.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon Prime had another heavy hitter this year, I think, with, presuming were you going to say anything else on Watakoi before we move on?
No. Again, just make sure you're watching it, because it is definitely one to really give some time to. It really does deserve it. And I would even suggest that I do hope it gets a second season, because it really, really deserves a second season too.
Yeah. I mean, we can but hope. I mean, there's presumably still plenty of material for them to adapt, so hopefully
there is,
odds wouldn't be good.
Mind you, I say that as well, but I'm also of that frustration that I'm still waiting for my second season of Nozaki-kun, which know there's plenty of material for.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for it.
If you're listening, lads, any day. Amazon's other kind of heavy hitter, I guess, this year would probably be Banana Fish, which I have seen this in a few best of the year lists, but I don't know. Did you see this one at all? Or
I've watched a good portion of it now. And I've known of Banana Fish for a while before it started airing, but I didn't know much of it. I still went in predominantly blind into the show, so I wasn't expecting what I saw of it. But I really liked the feel of the show, the kind of way it was going. It felt interesting. I think my main gripe with the show, from what I have seen so far, is it still can't figure out what time frame it wants to be in. It feels, context, on Banana Fish. Banana Fish is a manga from the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Which very much covers that kind of look on New York, gang life, and gang rings and all that in there as well. So very much that kind of approach, but this basically takes all that and puts it into a modern day setting, as if it was what was 2018, which is fine, bar the fact some of the themes that are in there now aren't as applicable as they were then, and that's where I feel the main gripe I have for Banana Fish is.
Yeah, it does seem to have, it does kind of feel like it's aged in certain ways more than others, I guess. I think it's just the very much the kind of attitudes to the characters in it feel of that time. It does. I think they would have been better just to make this a period piece, honestly. I mean, I'm guessing that they updated it to try and make it appeal to a broader audience, in the hope that maybe they would get like a younger crowd in who might not be so interested in something set in the 80s. But it feels a little bit like the attempt to update it is just very superficial. It does very much feel like a product of its time. I mean, it's I really wanted to like this one a lot more than I did. I mean, when last did we get a crime thriller about New York drug gangs in a shoujo magazine? I mean, that's it feels like an oxymoron in itself. But
It does,
yeah,
yeah.
it has a really interesting premise as well, I think. But I don't know. I don't think it's a bad show. I didn't find it all that engaging. I mean, I think in part what put me off is that for us in the English-speaking West, we're so constantly bombarded with US crime thrillers that it feels like we kind of have a really, maybe not accurate, but a really specific image in our minds of what New York looks like. And when we get something like this, which comes from the Far East and maybe feels like it's come from people that haven't had that experience of images of New York and of America, but it's there's something just a bit off about the setting, and it's I couldn't really get past that. It feels like such a it's a very clean, very neat vision of New York at a time when New York was sprawling and dirty and full of crime and drugs and exciting things like that. But it feels to me like it either needed to be kind of gritty and hard and unrelenting, or it needed to be a kind of pop art fantasy of like endless skyscrapers and giant billboards. But it just sits somewhere in the middle, and I don't know, I was just a bit bored of it after the first 10 episodes or so, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the setting for Banana Fish, the main gripe is, I think, kind of goes back to what I was saying before, that it feels very much a product of its time, and you can't really see what it's meant to be covering. So some of the stuff that's in it now feels very clean in that, which is very much, yeah, probably a bit more akin to what you'd see now for some of America and New York. But you look at some of the themes they're trying to cover, and it's a more darker, grittier side of things, which is more akin to the 80s, 90s cycle of things, and they don't mesh well, they don't meld as they should do. I felt a bit more of attachment to the characters, though. I think the characters were quite engaging. Again, that's where the real power of the show was, especially with Ash. Ash is a very, very thorough character that's been built up. He's got a lot to him. He's quite interesting. It's also one of those shows that very much just throws at you straight at the beginning, just in case you're wondering if it's anything that puts you off for a show or for any reason at all. The character's sexuality, and that's very much a part of what drives the show for the most part of it, and covering his homosexuality, and then the other main character, which I forget his name now, which is terrible.
AG, I think.
AG, yeah, I think it is. He very much comes to this kind of as the person who's not really sure of who it is. He's very much coming to terms with himself.
The character dynamic between the two of them, I thought, was well handled. That was probably the
Is
best
very
part
well
of the
handled.
show.
I think that's very much what keeps the show running. Their dynamic and the characters' dynamics are really good. And they kind of put the theme in for them. You can tell that those two are very much going to be very coupley in this, in some senses, or very much being the shoulder to lean on for either character. But it's never thrown in your face to the point that it's too much, which is nice. In this kind of show, it very much it puts it in place, you know it's there, let's move on with the rest of the show. And
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
that theme plays for a lot of it, but it's still not something that's overpowering in the show, and I like that. But I just think some of the, I guess you're right, the kind of cleanliness of some of the show feels a bit off, and that's the main bit that kind of gets me to the main gripe for me, I think.
I mean, yeah, the way it handles the character's sexuality, I think, is despite the fact that it is very much a show of its, very much a story of its time, is quite well done. I mean, it feels it's very much a show about characters who happen to be gay, or kind of discovering their sexuality, as it were. But it's that it's not like it doesn't dominate it in a way that you would describe it primarily as a show about that. It's just a show in which that is a big part of it. That is not the beginning and end of it. I mean, it is also quite a con you know it's a perfectly solid crime thriller. It's just as I say, I would just have wanted it to be a bit more intense is all I would say of it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I need to really continue on with it because I've only seen about the third of the show, so about the same as you have, and I want to see the what goes on from there because from what I know, it does become a little bit more intense in certain areas, and I have had some elements of the end spoiled for me, unfortunately, which is really annoying. But it's still something I kind of want to give the time into and kind of see what it does with the rest of the show. See if it does start to incorporate themes that are very more, I guess, more 2010 based into its storyline to try and tell some more of the crime stuff, or are they going to cover some more of the of their sexuality side of things, and in this kind of perspective as well? Because again, whilst it may not seem like it's that should be that big of a deal, back at the time this had been written, it would have been a massive deal for a lot of things. So it'd been a huge different. It'd be like a huge topic of discussion for then. Whereas now, it's fairly normal. There's such a big contrast with the way socially things are viewed in that respect, and gang-wise how they're viewed in that respect, that is different. So it'll be nice to kind of see where they take things in the next few episodes, if they just remain very faithful, which that's absolutely fine if they do, or if they try to maybe try and meld things to be more akin to what you'd maybe see in now like nowadays instead.
I mean, I think in a way, part of why I'm saying it might work better as a period piece is I think it might be interesting to just kind of hold it up and say, well, this is how people thought and behaved then, as opposed to, necessarily how people think and behave now. So, I mean, the fact that they're trying to shoehorn this into a modern setting does make you feel, well, would people do then say these kind of things now? Is it still the same? It's, I don't know. It's
Exactly.
yeah, I mean, it's fine if you give it a shot. If you like it, there's two cures of it, so fill your boots. But I don't know. I just part of me feels a little bit like maybe if they had made this a single feature film, it might have worked better for me because it does feel like there's a
Possibly.
yeah, like there's a certain amount of kind of padding that they could have lost, and maybe it would have hung together better that way. But at the same time, you probably lose a lot of character development, so it's a difficult call.
It's that kind of do I, don't I? Do I cut this for this, or do I leave this in it for that? So hard to say, but that's that. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to kind of really bring up with in terms of Amazon Prime, but I know that
Trying to think what else
at
was
least
on
in
Amazon this
passing,
year.
at least in passing, just for kind of other mentions, I would like to mention out is Karakuri Circus,
Oh,
which
yeah. Yeah.
again is one to kind of look out for. It's from the same creator of Ushio and Tora, very much of that style. Very much feels like a piece from the early 2000s, which it was. I originally got mixed up. I thought that came after, before Ushio and Tora, but it's the other way around. But you can either way, you can still see the impact of both ways. So you can see of how where the influences are in his works. But they're both really good shows. And I think Karakuri Circus has a lot of prospect, though I think the main issue is going to be some of the pacing in that case as well. But it was, I think, Amazon Prime alongside that have shown that they've got a lot of strength coming from them as well. I think a lot of things have started to move over to them as well since the Funimation Crunchyroll deal died down. I know if you're interested, Maggie Brilliant Park is on there now
Oh yeah,
for
I
a
keep
good rent.
forgetting
That's also
that,
that's on Amazon Prime. So I'll be certainly saying going into 2019 that you should be keeping an eye on Amazon Prime. They will be one to watch for. They'll have a lot more shows coming forward as well.
think perhaps the promotion side of things lets them down a little bit. It feels like they could do a lot more to promote their anime content. Even just finding it in the app isn't always the easiest task. It's not like, I mean, at least Netflix has a thing that will pop up that will recommend you anime if you've been watching anime on their service, but which I mean, I think Amazon kind of does a little bit, but it feels like with Amazon particularly, there's nothing that you can just hit, show me the anime and see everything they've got. You've got to kind of really actively search for it to find it, and
You do, yeah.
even at that, sometimes the
It's
search isn't that good.
a bit. No, I mean, I wish they would kind of improve on that a little bit more. Something they should probably look into for 2019. But they have, from when you do find the shows eventually, they are worth looking into, honestly. So it'd be good to see. Case in point, one of the main ones I've seen so far they have is Dororo, which is out starting this season. So I would potentially look into that as one to watch for this season as well. So you'll never know what, but they're going to probably get a few more surprises, especially if Noitamina are involved, because I think they've got a deal with them going at the moment, so they get a lot of their shows.
I haven't seen Dororo yet, but everything I've heard mentioned about that has been overwhelmingly positive. So yeah, that sounds like it could well be a winner.
Yeah,
I also keep
absolutely.
getting it mixed up with there's an adaptation of Dorohedoro coming this year as well, I believe. And I keep seeing Dororo, and I think it's that. No, it's not
Yeah,
Dorohedoro.
there's just too many Doros in this case. So, but again, really good showing from Amazon, I think. Unless there's anything more you want to mention with them?
Nah, I think the only other one I can remember watching much of on Amazon for last year was Kokoku, I think the name was.
Oh yeah, the one that's got the same art style as what was the show again? I know the one you mean, though. I
Yeah, it was
was thinking.
a thriller about someone that can stop time, which was an interesting idea, but in practice didn't work out as well as I'd hoped.
Yeah, I had heard a couple things about the show being fairly wordy, but it's not
Yeah, it
my thing of mine.
was a bit kind of exposition heavy, yeah.
But that's not a bad thing in my eyes, to be honest. But I know some people weren't really keen on that kind of thing either.
So one of these things that if Amazon was more in the habit of reminding me of things that are on their service, I might have actually gone back to that, but I kind of forgotten it existed until I was actually looking through the listings for the last year. But yeah, I guess as time's going on, we should probably talk about our old friend Crunchyroll for a while.
Yeah, so they've had a lot of good going this time as well. I may as well just get it out of the way now, because if I don't, people are going to wonder who I am. But again, they did have Fullmetal Panic this year, which is
Ah, yes.
godsend. So it was a nice, refreshing thing to see after 13 years. And the best part about it was that there wasn't. It didn't feel badly paced, and it felt really well done as well. Some of the animation was clearly lacking at points. Zebek didn't do the best thing with that, but it was really nice to see Invisible Victory back, and again a really strong showing for them too. I was really happy with Invisible Victory. It was really well played, really well laid out. I kind of wish they covered a couple bits more in the background here and there, because there was a couple of small things missed out from the novels, but really, really strong outing, and I'm glad it's back. Now it's just a case of, do I have to wait another 13 years for next for the fi finale, or am I going to get it this year? There's nothing's been announced just yet for it, which is a little bit worrying. We'll see.
Which will we get first, the next Full Metal Panic or the end of Berserk?
I don't know. Berserk's done the. Berserk's in another situation where I think it's going to do another get to that damn island feeling, but it's going to get to the point where like get back to that scene. There's like one scene that says, "Okay, we've got this bit right now." You're now going to be thinking, "I want to see what the climax is of this scene." Nope, we're going to take you back over to this place, which is no one cares about, and we're going to cover this. I'm not going to continue any further, because we'll be here. We turn into a Berserk podcast. We don't want us for another day.
Yeah, I mean, I've yet to see any of Invisible Victory, but that's because, embarrassingly, I have never finished the second raid. The reason being that after I saw Fimofu, I kind of took the huff a little bit because I kind of wanted more of it just to be purely a comedy series. I felt a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of fought shy of going back to the main one because it's, obviously a sort of thriller, but I think enough time has passed, I should really just get over it and finish the second raid. I know it's very good,
I
everyone
would
says it's
do
good, I'm sure I would enjoy it,
it.
so.
Yeah. I know. It is good, and don't worry, I'm not holding you to gunpoint at all on the show when we're doing that. But it is definitely worth watching, and the excuse me, sorry, the Invisible Victory does very much continue with the same themes, if not goes a little bit darker. In fact, it does go darker. So I would recommend watching it, but just don't expect much of the comedy, if at all, when you go into it, because there isn't really much comedy in that side of things.
Oh well.
But on terms of other stuff from Crunchyroll, I think, just in passing mention, I think there's been a lot of good they've had too. I think one of the ones they had, I mean, their spring season was pretty stellar with a lot of what they had, and I think as much as it fell short near the end, Megalobox is definitely one worth mentioning because of how strong an outing that had to begin with as well.
Yeah, I like Megalobox a lot, but I think as you said, it was just that the finale of it was kind of an anticlimax. It's a shame. I mean, I thought the early part of it started so strongly, and everything up to I thought particularly the little arc where he fought the war veteran guy. I thought that was probably the highlight of the series for me. But it's just a shame that the final fight was kind of well, it's over.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those. It was a nice one, especially as I call back to Ashton or Joe, or Tomorrow's Joe for those who don't know where. Very nice, very reminiscent of that, and you can tell it essentially tells a story in a different theme, in a different setting, essentially. But it's really well done. It has its points where it could have been a little bit better, but I think for what it was as a whole, it was really well done. I think all most people remember it for is having that grain over the top of it, which people didn't like the animation, which is a shame because there was a lot more to it than just the animation style, and I really enjoyed it for all it was.
And I really liked the look of Megalobox, actually. I mean, I thought that it did a really great job of recreating that kind of look of something for, I mean, some people were saying it was like a 90s thing, but I felt it was like something from the early 80s to look at it. It felt like one of the shows that Osamu Dezaki would have looked on back in the day, would have worked on back in the day. It had the look of the backgrounds, the look of the character designs, everything. It was just it felt like a period piece without like kind of slavishly copying that. I really liked the way they handled that. It was as I say, it was just a shame that they're It would have been nice if they'd done something a bit more substantial with it in the second half.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they did a bit more with it. But I think for what it did do, it did it quite well, honestly. That's one of the things.
Should
Just
we?
thinking.
Sorry, I was just going to say, should we move from Ashita no Joe to JoJo?
That's a good segue.
See what I
I
did
like
there?
it. Yeah. So,
I think I've,
JoJo Part 5.
yeah, I think I probably banged the drum for this one pretty heavily in the last episode that we did, but yeah, I mean, all I can really add to that is I feel that this is well on track to be my favorite of the lot, at least so far. It's felt to me since they started adapting JoJo that the very name Bizarre Adventure always led me to expect something very specific, and apparently it was this. It feels like the franchise has really come into its own. It's got that kind of momentum and sense of progression from part three, but also the willful eccentricity from part four. I mean, it's still early days. We're only really like a third of the way into the series, but
Yeah, we are. It's not that far in. It's been really, really strong. This it's I think what they have always gone for, like the very eccentric characters and that. This just brings that to new heights. The stands, you can tell that he's been that Araki's been kind of working on the stands and trying to figure out what he wants to do with them. And you get to part five and they suddenly become far more varied, far more experimental, more just as crazy as you can think of. Is there something we can maybe think of could work as a stand? It's a stand now. There you go. And it's crazy, but it works really well. It's kind of funny in the sense that our Giorgio this time around, Giovanni Giorgio, has got his stand, which can create life, but the minute you touch that life in the way you shouldn't do, you'll probably just hurt yourself or kill yourself in doing so. It's a weird, weird concept to go with, but it just works so well. And I really like the way that this has just gone from strength to strength from part 4. It was quite surprising, because I always heard people say that part 5 was one of the weakest parts too. So it was quite strange to hear that and then go into the show and see that it's quite strong in comparison to what I've been told, which is nice, don't get me wrong, but I was going in expecting something a little bit less.
I think maybe that's why it comes across so well, is I think the expectations for this were relatively muted before it started. I mean, I think with things like Stardust Crusaders and Diamond is Unbreakable, you know, people were quite hyped up for them before they began, but I mean, with Golden Wind, it does feel a little bit like people are, that's happening. So the fact that we've got it now and it is so very, very good is perhaps just a pleasant surprise as much as anything.
It is. I wonder if part of it's just because there's not been as much coverage of part 5 as well, and that it is still a break from the norm, in the sense that Giovanni's not really exactly a normal JoJo in the line of JoJo's, but
yeah, no, there's a certain, I feel like there's even now there's still a certain kind of moral ambiguity about Giorno, and it's I think that makes him a more interesting protagonist than the ones we've had for a while. I mean, you know, Josuke was okay, but he was he was basically the hair meme, and that was about it. I feel like Giorno feels like he's got a little bit more depth to him as a character, which kind of interesting. It feels like it feels like maybe what Araki really wanted was to make a series in which Dio was the main character, and this was probably the closest that he was able to get with it. So,
I mean, some people have told me that there is flashbacks to Dio being in there at some point, but I'm not entirely sure as to when that is, or if it's in part 6, because I know there is mentions to him, because Dio never really technically leaves the show in some sense. He's always going that his character is always going to have that impact and ripples throughout the entirety of JoJo from here on out, no matter what way you look at it. But I'd be really interested to see how much of his potential villainous side comes through, because that's definitely still hiding there with him at any point in time, if that's going to come through later on in the series. And I think that, plus the his group of friends, or should we say gang of friends, are quite interesting to follow, to kind of follow as well.
I mean, they're not, as I think it's maybe slightly easy to forget, but they're not obvious heroes in many ways. I mean, there is the thoroughly baffling scene on the yacht where they are effectively torturing a guy, and yet it's strangely not that. It's like, oh yeah, I think it's just so surreal that you almost don't stop and think they're actually torturing this guy in quite an unpleasant way. But it's you know, there's weird colours and strange imagery, and everybody's dancing to a song that's not quite by Prince, and it's like, I think it's just such a strange tableau that it doesn't feel as unpleasant as it probably should in a weird roundabout way.
I would recommend that even if you don't like JoJo, that you do go out of your way and have a look at that particular dance scene. That is something else. It is something else. You need to see it.
Yes, it's something quite special indeed. It's on YouTube. You know, just go and be amazed by that.
Yeah. And then on the back of that, go watch the rest of JoJo. Start from part 1. Yes. It's worth it.
Yes,
you don't need that week ahead of you, don't worry.
We must all suffer through Phantom Blood. It is obligatory.
But it's really good. I would highly recommend it.
Absolutely, I mean, while we're on CR, I guess, should we talk about the other big part 5 this year? That is Lupin?
Yeah, I've still not had the opportunity to watch it yet, I know how big and how popular it's been. I mean, part 4, my understanding was part 4 was good, but it never really caught the same. It wasn't as highly regarded, but when part 5 hit, part five really hit off home quite well and just kind of got off the ground running and never really stopped.
Yeah, I mean, part four was good, but it was a bit patchy. Part five, I think, was again a lot more consistent. I mean, it's maybe not the greatest Lupin thing that we've ever had by any stretch of the imagination, but it is very, very good. I think it's the best thing that's come out of the franchise in a very long time. I mean, it's a very successful update that also stays extremely reverential to the original. Maybe a little bit too much so, in a way. I mean, there are a lot of in-jokes in it that are like kind of references back to things in earlier parts of the series that will probably be lost to newcomers. But at the same time, even if you don't recognise these things, I think, you know, you'd probably still be able to watch the show and enjoy it. I don't think it depends on that by any stretch of the imagination. It's, it could maybe have done a little bit more with some of the series established characters. I mean, I think Fujiko in particular could have been used more in this series, but it's a minor complaint. It's very, very good. It's, yeah, best Lupin thing in years.
It definitely is, and I think it'll be interesting to see how that goes on, especially with Fujiko being released so soon as well. I'm kind of surprised that actually just bringing back to that they didn't cover her as much. I wonder if it's maybe because there was a full series on her that they wanted to cover more or just Lupin.
Yeah. I mean, Fujiko didn't have a massive role in part four either, but I feel she did get a little bit more to do in that one than she did this time around. So, I don't know. I mean, if they felt that had they put that in, it would have just been forced in for the sake of it, then I can kind of understand that. But at the same time, it's a shame that could have done it a little bit more there. But I don't want to complain too much. It was a very good show. There is still, I believe, an OVA for this kicking around that they've had in Japan that I don't think Crunchyroll have released. Hopefully they might do that, because I know they put out the OVAs for part four. So, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, I'd hope it would do. But I'm going to definitely try and work my way through part four before I make a start on it.
Sure, even if
it is, otherwise, I know they're not so much linked in like all Lupin is, essentially. They're not really that much continuity with it in a sense. It's very much independent, but I'd still like to see it, because just kind of see what the difference is from part four into part five, especially with them being so soon after one another, because it's something going from part three after so long into part four and part five quite quickly in succession in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's part four, the gap between part three and part four was about 30 years, if I remember rightly.
It was, and, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, part five has followed the last one in just about, you know, 2 or 3 years, so that was a bit of a surprise that we got this so soon. It's slightly surprising maybe that Lupin, you know, like, one of the sort of main things with the series is as they've changed over the years, Lupin's jacket colour has changed with each era. So it's interesting that they kept the blue jacket from part four, as if to kind of suggest that this is part of the same, I don't know, continuity, Lupin-verse, if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, I say continuity, but I think you could quite happily watch part five without having seen part four, although I completely understand if you want to go back and watch part four first, you know. Sure.
Yeah, I know there was like one or two characters in passing from four do make an appearance or a mention in five, but
it's mostly just minor cameos, really. Yeah,
so I think that's their way of probably saying that Blue Jacket is just all the same thing, but there's not anything else that kind of deters you from having to watch one or the other or both at the same time, so you're okay with it. Whereas in terms of the Fujiko Mania series that appeared out earlier on, that's very much linked to Jigen's Gravestone as well. That was very much the same universe, very much. They don't even hide that as well. So it's kind of worth looking into those two being together. But I feel like we're probably going on a bit of a diverge.
Probably going on a bit of a tangent again.
In terms of Crunchyroll, the main other kind of titles I wanted to bring really to mention was probably Magus Bride and to a lesser extent, I guess you could say, Bunny Girl as well, which was another one that came out from last season.
Mm-hmm.
Both were being Magus Bride was very much a really strong show throughout, where you can see why it has such a had such a following at the time it aired.
Mm-hmm.
Really good show. Very strong animation as well. Another really, really good animation, especially for the scenery they had in that show. It was gorgeous from what you could see.
Yeah, I mean, I never really got into that one too much, but I mean, again, I remember that that did very well for them at the time. I think some people went off it a little bit towards the end, but again, it was quite a long series, so sometimes with these week to week things, maybe a little bit of fatigue sits in that kind of undermines them. So
it was. I remember when Magus Bride originally hit, you had the three OVAs first, which I was. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how that placed. I think the main thing that I was kind of hard to, what kind of made it hard for me to start to begin with was, do I need to watch the OVAs first before I can actually jump into the series?
Yeah.
Can I watch the series first? How does it place? How do I really get into it? So it was good to know that they're kind of almost independent of one another. It's like a small story within the main story of it, so you can watch it whenever you want. But at the time it was like, do I need to watch this first kind of thing, and I think that made it hard to approach it to begin with, because we weren't really sure what to cover first and when. But it was definitely an interesting show. I like how all of it is basically set in Britain, and they even the nicest thing is they actually have proper attention to detail to it too. There's a one particular screenshot we got from it recently when we were watching it, where they actually get the actual design of the money in the notes right.
Oh, nice.
Actually looks like proper UK notes. There's even a proper police car in the background as well for one of them. So the attention to detail of Britain is really spot on, which is just a nice thing to see. I think that's why I like the show the most, is they actually do care about getting the small details right. So that really helps the show too. But if we've not got much more to mention Magus Bride, the other one was, again, Rascals Don't Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai.
Oh yes.
Again, potential show, a potential year runner for this, the one of the shows of the year, because that really did cover things in a way that I would feel probably remind me of a mixture of Harui and Bakemonogatari in a sense. Very much, I remember saying this when we discussed it on the seasonal side of things, but it very much has a vibe of them both, and it really appeals because of that. It does things with their characters, especially with the main two characters. They have such a amazing kind of flow between them, very like bouncing off each other as well, that really makes the show what it is. And it makes it such a joy to watch because of that as well. So I can recommend watching Bunny Girl any more than that, because it's such a good show because of it. Shame about the end's a bit cut off, but there is a film due on the way too, which I know things out this year, so it'd be nice to see if we can get that for Loves Animation, Andrew. Yes. Hope you're listening. It'd be good.
Hint.
And I mean, again, we're still waiting for that Oedo showing that you promised us last year. Remember that? So it'll be good to see.
Netflix time displacement is set in again. That actually happened somehow.
Yeah. But it was good, and I do highly recommend watching it if you've not already given it a chance to do so, because it's such a strong, strong show. Very much slice of life meets that kind of idea of Bakemonogatari, where everyone's suffering from a specific syndrome, or rather than having something to do with like a star sign kind of affecting them, or the zodiac affecting them in this case, it's actually like a syndrome they have, which is quite interesting to see how it plays off.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much else I can add on that one. I think, you know, we discussed it quite extensively when it was coming out for the season podcast, which should still be downloadable from places. Check the forum thread. But this was obviously a huge, huge success. I mean, I think pretty much everybody that watched, or at least most everybody I think that watched this, really enjoyed it. So
hands down, I think most people did in that case. So it was one of those ones that really did well for itself because of it, and the title probably doesn't do it any justice.
Yes.
I remember Josh mentioned exactly the same thing. The main problem from this year was that so many titles, films and otherwise, didn't do justice because of its titles. But ignore it and just watch it anyways, and you'll see what we mean with how good it is.
Yeah, I mean, as well as that, even the promotional art for this one, I think, was a little bit misleading. When you look at the cover image with the picture of the bunny girl on it, you just think, this is going to be something quite different from what it actually ends up being.
It's very much just a, oh, what's this meant to be about bunny girls and some other girls? Nope, that's definitely not what it's actually about. It does start that way, but not to the extent you're thinking.
Yeah.
But kind of leading off of that, I don't know if there's much more you want to cover for Crunchyroll first of all, do you, at all?
I think the only other thing I would maybe mention in the passing was just that Cells at Work, I thought, was a good show. That was it was a fun show. It was, the premise was very unusual, you know, the showing the inside of the body through little anthropomorphic characters, although I would say that there is a French animation series which does have quite a similar theme to it from like the 80s or 70s or something, but it felt a little bit like a stopgap before JoJo arrived, because this was animated by David Production, and
it was,
at times I think it was quite telling that it was their people that were working on it. Some of the sort of action oriented scenes did feel very reminiscent of JoJo. But it was fun. I mean, I couldn't really comment on how scientifically accurate the show was, although there is, I believe, a series on YouTube in which like an actual doctor watches the series and comments on how he interprets the science behind it. But again, there's not a whole lot I can really add to it. I think it's got an interesting premise. It handles it quite well. I think the design for the backgrounds in the show I was quite impressed with as well. It has this quite clever kind of cityscape interpretation of the inside of the body, which I thought was quite nicely handled.
It was quite interesting. I mean, I've not had the chance to watch much of it myself. I've only really seen it probably in passing, but the ideology behind it all was quite fascinating to see, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, my only kind of negative comment I would make maybe is that I think the way the series is organized, it is quite episodic. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of ongoing story, and the characters aren't hugely well developed. They're quite endearing, but they're not hugely well developed, so I'm not sure that this is going to be one that people will remember an awful lot in, you know, maybe a year or two's time. But that said, it's very entertaining. If you've not seen it, I would recommend checking it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of pass on to that, there's only a couple more things I want to really cover off of. One of them was kind of a couple of the shows on, two shows on High Dive. High Dive didn't really get as many shows last year as you'd expect, though it did have a lot going for it in terms of its backlog shows. The main one that kind of took me for that I really enjoyed from there was Bloom Into You, which finished off was just last season. Bloom Into You was a really nice Yuri show, which had a nice refreshing premise in the sense that it wasn't like Citrus. again, not saying much, but when you consider the show to be very much about that, again, in a way, kind of to quote what we said with Banana Fish, like coming of age, kind of recognizing your own sexuality kind of thing. It was really fascinating to see, because it wasn't it's a romance show very much about how they're trying to, one of the characters essentially falls in love with the other, but if it was returned, then it wouldn't work, because it's deemed about being feeling special. And again, it's all about this idea that the minute you say you love someone, then it means it's easier to hate them, so you're not going to love them throughout the rest of your life kind of thing. It's very much in terms with what is love, what is kind of relationship to you, and it's a really interesting take on it. It feels slow to start, don't get me wrong, it is slow at points, but it's a very, very faithful adaptation. Everything is covered to the T from the manga, up until the end, because the end is, I don't know how, if I remember rightly with the end, but I think it, because the manga's not finished, it has its own thing going at the moment. But it's very well put together. The character relationship is really strong. I really think it was probably one of the better Yuri shows of the year. Not that it's hard, I know.
Not a huge amount of competition.
It had a very nice premise, a very more calm tone to go with it too, mm-hmm. which just made it a lot more easier to watch. And I really liked it from that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's really not a lot else I can add in this one, I'm afraid. I mean, again, I think it's something that we discussed a bit on the season episode as it was coming out, but yeah, it seems like a really solid show. It's if you've got High Dive, by all means check it out. The only other thing I would say was that when you mentioned that the show was touching on like ideas of what is love, it did take a great deal of willpower not to say "baby, don't hurt me." But
I was waiting for that to come in the background. Maybe I should have just had like the music turn up as we go,
and then something's wrong with the CD
afterwards. Yeah, and then we get copyright one again. But yeah, it's really good, and I would highly recommend it. Again, one of my favourites from that season, probably from last year as well. Really, really good show. Mm. The only other one that I wanted to kind of mention from last year was Tadakun, Never Falls in Love.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That was a good show, and it was also nice to see that Goggle 13 finally got its own wee show in a romance show somewhere, you know. But it was a good show, but it had a lot of issues, namely pacing, and the rest of the characters just weren't fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have had room to do a lot more with it.
Yeah.
And it just felt like so much was missed. They had a lot more opportunity to do things, and some of the characters, I guess, drives and that just felt a bit off. Mm, some of the characters didn't get fleshed out that should have got fleshed out. There's a lot of issues in it, but a lot of what the show did as well did do some good. So it was very mixed, I would say. But it was just one of the other ones I thought from last year that seemed quite interesting. I'm not sure if you saw any of it.
I saw a little bit of it. I didn't watch a huge amount of this one, unfortunately. I mean, I think generally I've been quite bad at keeping up with High Dive this year, which is a shame. I think their service is good. I just hope that they can get, you know, a bit more stuff onto their platform in the coming year. But, I must admit, I kind of turned up for the Goggle 13 cameo and then forgot a bit about the show after that. So
yeah. He makes a good few appearances here and there, which is always quite nice.
Did they ever make any comment about why they have Golgo 13 in it? I mean, is it just something like, did the author just like Golgo 13? It seems like such a strange place for him to pop up. It's
Yeah, I mean, you can even tell just by the way he kind of is showing in the show that he's there, he's got a human side to him, but suddenly you can tell he's still not what he seems on the outset. So if you've never heard of Goggle 13, you probably wouldn't know why this is such a funny thing to see.
Who's this man with these huge eyebrows?
Yeah, exactly. And why does he always look serious? Well, there's a reason for that. But you kind of get hit. If you know who Goggle 13 is and you're looking at the show, you'll probably realise what's going on. Because I think they mention things in the newspaper, like you can sometimes see these bits in the newspaper and you realise that's who he's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's well placed, but it's just a shame the show didn't really do much more beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one I was going to mention, did you ever watch, it's worth checking if anything, but it's don't expect too much from it, is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Just lastly, did you ever get much more of the Cutie Honey show watched?
I watched that all the way through. I was forgetting that was a High Dive show, actually. I did watch all of that. It's all right. It wasn't a huge success. I think there were things in it that I really liked. There were things in it that could have gone better. I think it would probably have been more of a standout, or at least we'd probably have got more out of it had it not been airing around the same time that we also got Devil Man, which was a hugely successful update of a Gone to Guy property. And then, when you come to Cutie Honey, which was less successful, it's quite noticeable that it's really on nowhere near the same level. And I actually kind of felt a bit like Yuasa seemed to be like a more obvious choice for Cutie Honey than Devil Man. I think that his team at Science Sarrow could have done some, their style of animation, I think, would have fitted Cutie Honey really well. But
Yeah, possibly.
yeah, I mean, at the same time, I don't know, maybe they wanted to get away a little bit from like the probably the last update for anime Cutie Honey that we had was a Gainax series, and maybe if they felt that had Science Saru done it, it would have come out looking a bit like that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't regret having watched it all the way through, but again, it could have been better, I think, was the overall takeaway from it. I watched the Gainax version while that was airing, and the as much as the Gainax one re Cutie Honey takes a little time to get going, I wasn't hugely impressed with the first part, but I think once it hits its stream, once it gets into its stride, rather, it's Re-Cutie Honey is a much more successful update, and it's just a shame that Cutie Honey Universe wasn't really on the same level.
Yeah, no, it's something I need to have a look at some point. I watched the first episode of it, and the first episode felt okay from what it was, but I think it's something I'll give a watch later on. But I wasn't expecting too much because a couple of things I had a bit off felt a bit off from watching the first episode, anyways. So.
I mean, it's something, if you're already interested in the IP, if you're interested in Cutie Honey in general, I think it's worth checking out. But I think if you've not seen any of the show before, maybe not the best place to start.
Yeah. Okay. So on the back of that then, is there any other shows you want to kind of bring up
I
at
think
all
we've
or
hit all the
something covered?
main points that I wanted to mention, other than possibly that, Cyber City Oedo got a cinema screening this year. I don't know how that
Yeah.
happened or why that happened, but I'm jolly glad that it did.
It did. It's the best news next to the fact that it's getting a Blu-ray release this year, which
Yes,
you buy.
yes.
We'll be buying 10, so you know what's
Yes.
going to be.
I will buy 808 of them.
Perfect.
That would probably be really hugely expensive.
Just a slight bit, you know. It might just buy out their entire lot as well, you know. And that would be quite amusing if Andrew does make exactly 808 of them. Please do this. It's a bit funny. So it was good to see that too. And whilst we know that's still the film of the year, there is obviously the case of what do we feel was probably one of the stronger shows of the year? What do we think was
Yeah,
our top
that's a
show of the
good
year?
question. I mean, I think I have a tough time deciding between Devil Man and JoJo. It's I think Devil Man kind of came out of nowhere and really impressed me throughout, but JoJo also, like I said, my expectations going into part five were not the highest, and it really has impressed me all the way through. So very difficult to tell them apart, especially because JoJo is still ongoing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like I said. It's like asking someone to choose the favorite of their own children. It's really difficult to pull them apart. Do you have any
Yeah.
thoughts yourself on what your pick for the year would be?
So couple of things I did think about. I mean, I'm just by default, me being me, of course, everyone recognized that I'm going to pick Full Metal Panic as something
Of
in there.
course,
So
of course.
don't worry, that's never going to change. That's still going to be in there. But if we say not just Full Metal Panic, I think I don't know. It was quite hard to pick just one show this year that really stood out, because there was so many that really did a good job. It's just been such a strong year. of the ones we've mentioned, I think again, Watakoi was probably my favorite I saw from Amazon Prime. Crunchyroll again, if not Bunny Girl, I'm not sure really what else I would pick. Probably Megalobox or as well was a really good one. I really enjoyed Megalobox for what it was. Again, Bloomin' too on High Dive. I think probably the best way I can split it out is that. If I was to pick one from the whole year, though, I'm not really sure I could just pinpoint it to one, because there's just been such a big showing this year.
Yeah,
that really narrowing is. It down has been really, really difficult. I mean, if you gave me any other year, I could probably pinpoint just one show for you, but this year's just... It's been refreshing, but it's also made it really hard to actually say this is what I award as my top of the season, because that's just not going to happen, I don't think. Unless I go for my cheat option of Full Metal Panic, in which case, you know, that's always going to win anyway, so let's go.
Of course. It was the winner and best Full Metal Panic of the year.
Exactly, you know. I've been told I should change my avatar, but keeping the Full Metal Panic is probably the best thing for me, because otherwise no one will know who I am. I guess if I was to say what I probably would is my worst show of the season, though, of the year, from last year, probably goes for Pop Team Epic.
Really? Oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't like Pop Team Epic, honest.
That's fair. It was very much a love or hate it kind of deal, and I know a lot of people really hated it. So
I wouldn't say I hated it. I just didn't think anything of it at all. I felt it was basically a show that was just trying to be funny, and but it got to the point of trying too hard. So it would have been nice if it was just cut down to 15-minute episodes rather than trying to do the same thing on trying to do the same show in two different sections.
Yeah, I think that felt a bit pointless. there was really no need for that. I quite enjoyed the show. It's only up to a point. I thought some of the sketches went on for far too long. I mean, some of the stuff was inspired, like the Hellshake Yano segment, where it's just two guys in white coats with a flip chart doing all the animation, like as a sort of, I don't know what you'd even call it, like a sort of paper puppet theatre kind of effort. I really loved that. But I mean, there was one, like the kind of Showa era detective lady bit, which I didn't think was that funny and seemed to go on forever. I guess maybe that these kind of comedy series, that is just part and parcel with the territory. You know, it's going to be hit and miss kind of. You know, even if you like that style of comedy, it's not probably always going to be a winner. But I don't know. I liked the series. I wouldn't say it was like my best of the year or anything. But
The only other one I was going to mention, probably in passing for disappointment, was probably Tadakin Falls in Love, because that just felt that I had such a good chance, but just it never really hit the same peaks it had to start off with. And that was the biggest disappointment I had.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I mean, it's I didn't feel like I'd seen enough of it to really form an opinion, but I did get that kind of impression from a few people that said they were watching it. They seemed to kind of peter off a bit. I mean, I think my biggest disappointment this year would probably be Banana Fish, to be honest. As I say, I had my hopes for that were very high. I think if I had come into it without prior expectations, I might have enjoyed it more. But I just I wanted something that was between California Crisis and NYPD Blue. Got something that was just fine, but not amazing. So
yeah. Anything in particular you'd point out for your favourite of the year, if you could?
Again, as I say, I struggled to choose between Devilman Crybaby and JoJo.
I mean, if we're being honest,
JoJo.
Yeah. I mean, I find it really hard to kind of spread it out between them, but it's just good. I think in terms of each platform, they've all had strong series. But I guess JoJo is JoJo, isn't it?
I mean, maybe just as a shout out to something that, you know, I think maybe more people should have possibly watched. I think Planet With was an interesting little kind of sci-fi mecha series that kind of got lost in the crush a little bit. I think
that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just one of these things that came out at that point when there were a lot of other things on, and you know, maybe people didn't see it as much as they could have done. But it was a nice little show. I think it. For what I've seen of the other ones, I would say that Planet With is probably more rewarding than the likes of Darling in the Franxx, but I don't know. I haven't seen enough to really make that judgment, but that's just my impression of it, I would say.
I don't know, it'll be something I need to kind of give a watch when I get a chance, because I did feel like outside of Fullmetal Panic, my mecha intake this year was severely lacking,
Yeah, there
so it'd
wasn't
be
a
nice
huge
to
amount, really, yeah.
know there was Darling in the Franxx, which I still haven't watched yet, which from what people tell me is not a bad thing. But I'll give it a watch at some point, and then I'll give Planet Weather something I watch as well, just
Sure.
as something to look into. So, but yeah, I think that's basically, yeah, and kind of in summary, then we can't really decide what was good last year because so much of it was. But we can certainly pick out some of the disappointments quite easily, that's one thing. Is there anything we're looking forward to this year at all? What I mentioned before we go?
City Hunter.
Yes. City
That's
Hunter's out on my birthday. So, if Andrew, if you're listening, because I know you are, please
Yes.
make sure you bring it to Love's Animation. That would be amazing.
Please
Thank you. It'll
note,
give
we're looking for the anime one, not the French live action. Although, hey, if you want to get the
Yeah.
live action one as well, I'll not complain. The woman that
No.
plays Cory in it is lovely. But,
And we're
they.
not looking for the Jackie Chan one, thanks. We're
I
okay
don't
with
know, I'll
that.
take that as well. I actually
It's
like
a
the.
good one, don't
Yeah,
get me
I like
wrong,
that
but you
film,
know.
yeah. But yeah, it is the anime one that we really want in this situation, yes.
Yeah, we
It's
do want
I
that.
saw the trailer that you posted in the Discord last night, and it looks really, really good. It's I like that they even got the little cameo for the characters of Cat's Eye in there. So
Yeah, that was quite surprising to see. It just kind of flashed up on my Twitter, and I thought, I know who's going to like that as well as I do, so that's fine.
Yes.
So we know exactly what we're looking for this year. So it'll be really good for films. I'm hoping we're going to have as much luck with seasons. I know we've got Sekai no Kakegurui out this year. And
I look
there's a
forward to
couple.
Netflix giving us that in 2020.
Yeah, it'd be good, you know. Just in time for the Olympics. That seems kind of gambling for the Olympics for
that's
you.
assuming that we haven't gone to war with the replicants after November 2019. But
Yeah.
yeah.
We'll see what happens to that, I know. A 2019, the year that everything's meant to have happened. We're meant to have Neo Tokyo by now, guys, by the way.
Yes.
Just if you haven't noticed that already, we're meant to have Neo Tokyo.
I
It's not
hear it's
here
going
yet.
to XBLODE.
Just trying to think if there's anything else that I know of that's coming up this year. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
There's a new Lupin special coming, which should probably not come as a surprise, but actually looks good, which is more than can be said of a lot of the previous Lupin specials from recent years. So, I am mildly enthusiastic for that one, especially given that the recent TV stuff has been so great. So hopefully we'll carry on that into the specials as well. I also kind of suspect from the theme of it that it might be the last time we'll hear the original voice actor for Jigen. I suspect
Oh,
that it
okay.
might be when he's going to retire, because the name of it is Goodbye Partner, I believe, and it looks like it's going to be heavily centered on the relationship between Lupin and Jigen. So it seems, I think, just from that theme, it seems like maybe it's going to be his retirement, because I mean
Right.
he's into
Yeah.
his
I remember them
80s
saying about
now.
that actually. Yeah. No. A lot of the original voice actors kind of were still going for a long time with them as well,
Yeah, I
so.
mean he's the last one now, but until comparatively recent years, the original voice actor for Fujiko was still going. The original Zenigata, I think, was still there until comparatively recently
Zenigata was
too.
going. Yeah, Zenigata was going until he passed away, I think. So, there were so many of them. It's just crazy, but Lupin's always had that appeal, I guess. So I mean, he's always had that kind of drive, and everyone's loved the characters, and they've always loved playing them. So the only other show I was going to mention for this year, in terms of just if we look at anime, is One Punch Man is back.
Oh, of course,
So you'll have that to watch,
yeah.
and of course we've got Mob Psycho up this
Yeah,
season as
running at
well.
the
So
moment.
it's all about One and Murata's works this time around. Who cares about the rest, you know? So. But that's it for me. I think I've got nothing more that I can think of at the moment that's coming out this year that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I feel like I should end this by saying, get out of my house, but I don't know if that even works on a stream.
I don't know if it does. Get out of our stream. No, it's fine.
It's
You're
fine.
more.
If you've been affected by any of the issues that we've touched upon, or if you feel we've overlooked something unfairly, then please by all means leave us a comment. Probably ideally on the forum thread to let us know. We will do our level best to have the download version with the audio of this stream put up a bit more quickly this time. There were technical hitches with the last one that sort of held the whole thing up, but yeah, we will try and get that out a bit more promptly.
And we do hope that we're going to keep continuing to do this a bit more on a regular
Yeah.
basis.
Yeah.
We've been doing well so far.
I think so, yeah.
Let's just hope that we can keep doing this. And thank you very much for kind of continuing to listen to us. We know we ramble. I ramble
Yeah.
all the time, but you listen to the rambles, so it must be good rambles. So it's all good.
But yeah. Tune in next time and let us tell you about how much your waifu is trash.
Yes,
Oh
exactly. That is the next episode, by the way, just so
yeah.
you know. Yes. And don't worry if it's not, if you don't have any inclination of liking Cyber City or Oedo, then you're not welcome on our
Yes.
streams either. So you must like Oedo. If you've watched it at least 4 times, then you're welcome on the stream to join us too, and you can enjoy our love with it. But no, thank you very much for listening. And again, if you want to get in contact with us, please use the you can get in contact with us on Twitter. So
Yeah.
I'm at AIX7 Levatian, which thankfully, if you don't know, I can write it out. It makes more sense if I do it. Or you can always get us through on the at Anime UK News Twitter feed or on the website as well. And
That might actually be easier to just tweet us on the Anime UK news feed, in fact. Although mine is at Anti-Hero Art, if you wish to bug me about something, or, I don't know, pay me monies to draw you a stick person.
You should pay money to draw a stick person. He draws very good stick persons. Very recommended.
Yes.
But yes, and then of course you can always get us on the Discord. We're always hanging about there, and always on the forums as well. So if you need to contact us, please do so. We'd be more than
Yep.
happy to take on topic requests and anything else for future podcasts. And we'll aim to try and get one out. At least going forward, we're going to aim for at least one a month at the moment. If we can get any more, we'll do so. But just with time constraints, we have to be a bit more realistic on the matter.
Well,
That's
I
us.
think that's it for us in that case. We hope you've enjoyed it and we thank you very much for tuning in.
Yes, thank you very much. And we'll see you next time.
Cool.
See you later, folks.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.